Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us, everybody. It's good to have the broadcast audience here on listening to us. We appreciate you so much being a part of the broadcast. And it is Monday, April 14th. We just put that out there because for those of you who download the broadcast, listen to it. It's always good to know which day you're listening to as we start the broadcast. Appreciate you joining us and being a part of this. Again, we are over now 330,000 downloads of the broadcast. Quite amazing. And I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, United Guaranty, who's been serving the industry for 50 years. Again, I've been saying this for a while. It is the QMI product suite that ensures QMI compliance. QM compliance as it relates to their insurance policies. Also, be sure to go back and listen to the broadcast on the new master policy initiative that's underway. It was a hot topic segment. We had a number of broadcasts you can go. It was in the hot topic segment, and it was you can find it in our archived videos. It's right there on our home page. Also, a special shout-out goes to Velma.com. Brent Emler and the team there at Velma, which stands for the Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant. I got to tell you, folks, I'm using this for the marketing on our radio program now. We're soon to start using it on our business. I am so impressed with this. In fact, I'm so impressed that we're going to bring Brent on again next week to talk about this, because this is not like anything I've seen before, and I've looked at different ones, but there's so much potential for how you could build your business and what you could do with a service such as Velma. And they've got some uniquenesses and approach that they're the way they're going about it that really makes sure your brand and your message makes it all the way through all the various filters out there and gets to the right people and stays away from the right people. It's just an amazing service. Check them out at www.velma.com. Joe Farr is normally with us, but Joe has got an exciting event coming up that they're getting ready for, and so he had to head out to meet with his wife on some things. They've got some exciting things happening in their family, and so he's away from it. He sent me the news of what's going on in the market again today. If you check out, be sure you can go over to the website. If you go to MBSQuoteLine.com, I'm looking at their screen right now, and then I'm also reading the notes that Joe sent. Prices are down. I'm looking at it right now. It's right where it was when he wrote this. It's 4:30 seconds. What's really interesting is they've now come down more. Retail sales came in stronger than expected, and that was expected to drive more of this. But again, last week, what we saw going on was the money flowing out of the stock market into lower-yielding investments such as mortgage-backed securities really kept a downward pressure in spite of the fact we received some better-than-expected economic news last week. So now, again, today, we've got better-than-expected economic news, and we're seeing the prices react in more of a normal fashion, but we'll see. And again, the stock market's up 130 points, at least the Dow is, and so we'll begin to track this. Again, anytime we have any insecurity, what's going to be going on in the markets, and there's a flight to quality, mortgage rates are going to get pushed down as a result of in spite of the fact that we have some positive economic news. Let's see, rates improved for 10 to 20 basis points for the week last week, so there's some approval. The stock market was again hit hard. Much of last week's movement was in stocks and bonds was a carryover from the March jobs report. The movement helped by the minutes on the March 19th Fed meeting, so we got some insights of what it continued to reveal concern that some of the members have that inflation would stay too low. Interesting comment, too low for too long. And MBS prices are now near the best of that they've been in all this year. This week, what we've got coming up in the calendar is, of course, CPI today is the inflation report. The consensus is for small increases in prices. Last week's PPI showed inflation a little higher than expected. So yet really no really underscoring tones or concerns about that, especially when you look at what's going on in Europe, where it's only 0.5% inflationary concerns. It's almost the other side of the spectrum in Europe. It's a deflation is a concern over there. Also, the week we will have a regional manufacturing data coming out tomorrow, and then again on Thursday, housing starts, industrial production, and the Fed's beige book will be on Wednesday. Markets will be closed on Thursday, as it will be Good Friday. And then the situation, of course, in the Ukraine is going to could have an impact on this. We'll have to see what Putin's next move is, possibly in the Ukraine. If we see that happening, of course, it doesn't matter what's going to be going on with the economic calendar. It'll be global events. It'll be driving and most likely putting downward pressure on mortgage rates. Again, you really need a service like MBS Quoteline to really stay on top of all of that. So I encourage you to check them out, www.mbsquoteline.com. Normally we would have Paul Mallo on today, but he's on out tracking things going on in the marketplace. Go check out their website, www.imfnews.com. Paul is always so fun to have him on the broadcast. Levy has an aqua and starts a hit snarl on the One West servicing deal. That's on their website. City's retail originations dropped 37% in the first quarter of 2014. Very interesting drop there. Also, mortgage bankers call for a transparent FHA loan limit process. So a good article by George Books up there. Paul wrote on FHFA, as he says, FIFA remains mum on the articulated criteria for MSR transfers. So there's some vagueness there. Also, about MBS market is very ice cold, is what John Bancroft is saying, is non-mortgage ABS burns red hot. So it's interesting, the non-mortgage sector of the ABS market is red hot, but not so much so with MBS market. Again, that could all change with the flight to quality as we talked about earlier. But anyway, check it out. Go over to imfnews.com and get to looking at some of the headlines. We are pleased to have IMF and Paul Mallo as a part of the broadcast. Folks, we're going to get with Jeff Schumer. He's going to be with us in just a moment. He's going to talk about an initiative, an important initiative that the MBA has underway that every loan originator should be aware of, and we're going to get to that right after the break. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteline delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur. Get MBS prices as trades happen. Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at mbsquoteline.com. mbsquoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you back with us. We have as our special guest right at the moment, Jeff Schumer, Vice President of MB Education, formerly known as Campus MBA. For those of you that did not know it, I did not made that. They made an official name change from Campus MBA to MBA Education. Good to have you on the broadcast, Jeff. Appreciate you and all those there at the MBA trying to help our industry. You've got something that's rather interesting, I think, that should be noteworthy for many. It's just starting. It's the School of Loan Origination, or SOLO. Good to have you with us, Jeff. Tell us a little bit about what you've got coming up.
Thanks, Dave. I really appreciate you having me on the show. Yes, we've developed a new program, a new training course called the School of Loan Origination, and we've already done one course back in January with a very good recognition of it, and we're going to roll out our second course at the end of this month, beginning April 28th, and so it's a four-week online course divided up into 12 two-hour sessions with a live instructor who is an expert in loan production and origination and has been in the business for about some 20 years and done some, you know, $1 billion in origination. So wow. Excellent instruction.
That's excellent. A lot of people might say this as well. This certainly is for only the new folks coming into the industry. But I don't think that's the case. As I read through what you cover, this would actually be a very good review for even some of the seasoned veterans out there. Comment on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as we've really been moving now to a purchase environment, this is an opportunity for some of the veterans actually to get more engaged in terms of some of the cutting edge things that are going on today, to build networks, to be able to look at how to put together a good origination model when it comes to the purchase environment as it relates to builders and realtors and title reps and CPAs, financial planners. So there's a couple of very good segments in this program that provide a lot of insight and direction along those lines.
Well, I think I'm looking at the itinerary of the 13 items. I think it's just a summary of some of the things you're taking. Yeah, you take some stuff. You cover things like taking a quality loan application. I got to tell you, based on some of the reviews, we do a lot of operational reviews as part of our consulting business, and we're out there, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of people, even those that are seasoned veterans, I think could take that based on some of the quote-unquote quality loan applications we've seen out there, Jeff. But I think you also cover the right kind of documentation, loan product knowledge, calculator skills, sales skills, and that. But the thing that really popped out at me is really talking about QM, ATR, RESPA, TILA compliance. Get into some of the more specifics that even some of the veterans in the industry, certainly the newbies are going to be benefited by this, but why some of the veterans, based on some of the topics you'll be covering, why this is so compelling for them?
Well, I think from a compliance standpoint, I mean, we're all engaged now with compliance on the sales end included now, and I think from a CFPB oversight, the agency is looking at a complete top-down knowledge base in terms of some of these important regulations. So we provide some very good information regarding the rules and the policies and procedures as it relates to QM and the ability to repay. That's very important, and we share that with our in-house counsel here at the MBA. We have experts in all of the regulations and in QM and ATR, loan officer compensation, as well as disparate impact in HMDA. That's very, very important as we're looking to make sure that we have, you know, the right approach to how we're originating loans and supporting the quality and the consumer all in one. So I think this is some really good information that even the pro would benefit from in terms of what they should be looking for when they're originating good quality loans and fitting into the QM box.
Especially now that every loan originator, every processor is now under CFPB's quote-unquote covered persons, they really need to take it seriously. Let's talk about some of the things you're doing as far as how to develop skills and how to go after the purchase market business. You really get into developing a purchase referral network. Talk a little bit about that, Jeff.
Right. So what we're doing there is we've got Deborah Killian, who is our primary instructor of this program. She has been involved in building education programs as it relates to ideas and ways to communicate and work with realtors, as I said, builders, title reps, and a myriad of other professionals, whether it be CPAs, which, of course, she is also a CPA, so she's very familiar with what it takes to build a relationship and to be able to have a reciprocal setup in terms of referral-based business. So she provides a lot of insights on how to communicate effectively, how to build that, how to put together effective marketing to these constituents, as well as taking a look at how social media also may play a nice role in complementing the things that you're doing to promote and to build relationships with these groups.
That's so important. In fact, we're going to be having a broadcast the first Monday in May. We've got someone talk that is very much an expert on social media and working how to develop these and connect with it, some of the do's and don'ts. And I was floored this last week when I looked at some of the risks associated with social media, and it's unintentional. So there's some things that there are definitely some do's and don'ts. Now, you do quizzes and exams Is this some type of accreditation, or is this just really to reinforce the learning points?
It's more of to reinforce learning points, Dave, but we also provide a case study, and it's very robust and comprehensive. And so the student will go through an entire case study throughout the four-week course, and then there will be quizzes based upon that case study, as well as a final exam. It's a 100-question final exam, at which time, once it's passed, there is a certificate of completion issued to the student, so they can have that for their transcripts and their record as well. So I think it all reinforces the learning points in the course, and there's also an opportunity, I think, to get some personal direction as well from Deb Killian, who is available to coach, to direct, to answer questions for those students who might want a little bit more insight as to how to address a challenge or an issue.
That's why I was just noticing your last point in the outline that I was looking at was the personal instruction and coaching. So that's post-training that's available to those that are signing up for that. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And we keep this class currently to around between 25 and 35 people, so they have the opportunity to really engage with our instructor and have the time necessary to be able to, you know, answer questions and be able to give direction and help as it relates to some areas that they really would like to get more knowledge on.
Jeff, this is something that I think everyone, I don't care how experienced loan officers, originators out there in our audience, check this out. You can go to their website by going to www.mbaeducation.org/products/instructor-guided-online-courses/school-of-loan-origination.htm. Now, that's a lot there, but a lot of you go back and listen to this broadcast, you'll get it down. Jeff, is there any other way that they should learn about it? Just head to the website. Any other suggestions? That's a long email address or web address I want to get out, but for those that listen to it, they can go back and listen to that again. I want to make sure we get that out. Any other suggestions?
Well, what I would suggest, Dave, is if they can just go to mbaeducation.org, it'll take them right to the landing page, and we have a banner right on the landing page that says solo. They can click right on it and get all the information they need.
There you go, folks. Make it simple. I make it complicated. Jeff makes it easy. That's what this course is about, to help you get into understanding the twists and turns of the market and stay on top of it, even for you veterans, certainly for those that are new. Gosh, what a valuable tool. Jeff, thanks so much for dialing in and being a part of us and thinking of us to share this important announcement out. Appreciate you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, David.
You bet. It's good to have you on. Hope to have you on again soon. Folks, there's so much out there that we can take advantage of, tools like this, and also getting out to some of the MBA conferences, just so valuable. I encourage each of you to check out the MBA website, mbaeducation.org, and then also just the MBA, mbaa.org, I think it's still one of the websites you can still do. But it's good to have Jeff with us and everything going on. Alice, let's get into talking about what's going on. You're out in what part of the country are you in? You're on the East Coast.
Yeah, I'm actually in Asheville, North Carolina at the Grove Park Inn at the Ag First Correspondent Lending Conference. It's an beautiful resort, and it's actually in the Ripley's Believe It or Not book, because the elevators are actually along the sides of the fireplace, and they're still man-run, or woman, right? There's still a person there who actually has to open the gate and let you in, and you push the button to call them, you know, and you literally, when you get in the fireplace, you can smell, or get in the elevator, you can smell the fireplace, you can smell the timber, that smell. I guess timber's not the right word, but you can smell that, you know, fire-burning smell. It's really fun. It's just a beautiful resort, and so they do a nice job. And I was speaking here on originating a quality loan.
Oh, good. Fits right in with what Jeff is doing there at the MBA. So that's excellent. So tell us a little about what's going on. I opened the mail this weekend, and I got my Mortgage Banking Magazine here, which I just faithfully read each and every month every time it's issued. And the April 2014, on the front cover, it says, gearing up for historic regulatory change. Now, Alice, as anyone listens to the broadcast, you know the change is already in the works. And this is actually a good article. It kind of goes through some of it. I wanted to get some of your thoughts for people that are going to be reading this article and going, oh, my God, is there more coming? Could you comment on that?
Yeah, and first of all, I have to say I haven't had a chance to read the article yet, but we do have a lot that's pending. And I think first and foremost, what we keep saying to folks is the new combined disclosures, putting the good faith estimate and the truth in lending disclosure together, is not just simply a system change. It's a full operational change, and in a way that originators will have to talk and communicate with customers is going to change. And I actually wrote about this as well to say, you now is not too early to look at the form, look at what's going to be involved in just the communication of the detail in the form, and then spend time walking through, will our originators be able to get around this curve and be able to explain this form? Or do I now need to really pull that out? For those of you who haven't developed kind of a fulfillment process where someone else is preparing good faith estimates, you're looking at, well, will this group explain it? I mean, I think as an originator, you have to be comfortable with the form. You have to be able to explain this and understand it. And it changes the conversation. Same with the HUD one and Truth in Lending combined disclosure. So I think that's what they're referring to. And I think in the article we look at, we've got that. We have lenders who still haven't really implemented the vendor management process that, you know, Andy and I both keep talking about. We have lenders who have a lot in writing but aren't really implementing. So I think it's not that we have a lot of new regulation. Certainly flood insurance has been flip-flopping and causing challenges in servicing. We have our QRM, which will be coming around the corner to implement, but not necessarily impact every single loan that's closing. So I think that's what MBA is talking about. When you go through the list, there is a lot. But for those of you just doing originations, you can zero in on a few things, I think, to not, you know, get scared all over again.
It's like saying seeing the same horror flick over and over and over again. You still get scared. I don't care every time you watch it. And I think there's a lot of people looking at this. In fact, the article's titled, when you open up, it says, A Brave New World of Mortgage or Regulatory Oversight. And it's the whole oversight. What does that mean? Big brother, it feels like it's looking at you. It is a reality. And this article really gets into it. But the way it was worded on the cover, it was like, oh, my gosh, is there more coming? And the answer is no. It's what is there that is yet coming. This is how to approach it. And I think that's what you're suggesting, is study it. Turn it into a differentiating advantage for you rather than always in reactive mode. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, absolutely. And I think a lot of these are not system dependent in large part. I don't want to minimize how much we're dependent on how the technology works for actually finalizing the process. But a lot of these are things you can review now, set your teams up, and start to really assess the people part of this. How will originators need to be trained in their communication about the disclosures? What tools can we make to make their life a little bit easier on that? How will we need to train processors? Because, you know, change in circumstance isn't changing, but, you know, the process for how we're going to communicate this new four-page form and ARMS, I mean, you should plan that adjustable rate mortgages could very well be back on the table as an option for customers in the year to come. And so that form gets very long when now you're having to explain an ARM. And frankly, customers, you know, a lot of originators have had it easy, right? Let's face it, they got soft doing a lot of refis, and it might seem like you're stating basics all over again, but don't you see that people need to get re-energized on purchases?
They really do. That's why I think it was timely that the MBA is putting out the solo program and really helping do that. And then I know you do trading specific on this as well. In fact, it's a compliment to what the MBA does, and a lot of people didn't get to listen to our pre-program stuff, but, you know, the MBA and you are working very closely and getting this kind of training programs out and getting out people and our industry prepared for what's coming, and they just can't do enough of it. You cannot prepare yourself enough, and for those that are doing it, are taking the time to invest in the future of their future, are going to just be so differentiated from those that are not. It's getting to be pretty obvious, because this is really all about those that are really professional, Alice. And I know I'm preaching to the choir with this one. Because, again, think about our audience. It's only who would listen to a broadcast like this, take an hour out of their day? It's those that are the students, the most professional of the group. So at least that's how I see our audience. So it's good to have you with us. Enjoy your time out there. I'm kind of a little bit envious that you get to go out to these really nice places and do that. But we're going to be together at the Michigan Mortgage Lenders Association Conference at another really historic resort July or August. In August, yeah. You and I are speaking together. So, and then we got one in Indianapolis we're speaking at together, so it'll be really fun to be with you. But you get to go to a lot more of these, and that's very fun.
Oh, well, I hope folks get a chance to attend because, Indiana and Michigan do a great job for great events. And for Michigan, we're actually going to be at the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island, which is a destination for anybody to want to go to for any kind of vacation. It's just a beautiful location. And for those of you who haven't seen, Dave and I are putting together a new program that's going to really be balancing kind of where the C-suite needs to think about from a sales standpoint, how to develop your business, and then I'll be there on kind of that operations brain as well to balance those. You know, they kind of, how do I keep efficient, keep in compliance, and build sales? And so I think we have a lot to offer for anyone who wants to attend, whether you're living in Michigan or not. So.
Well, if you're in Texas or anywhere down south where it gets really hot, Mackinac Island is a great spot to be, and I'm honored to be there with you. Alice, so good to have you on. I know you're going to be on for the rest of the broadcast. We're going to continue our roundtable discussion that we started last week. Very, very important. But we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with Tony Garitano. Talk about interesting stuff after the LMA fiasco. We're going to continue to really get into that in a little bit deeper way. Got Tony on hold and can't wait to get him on. So we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lickin.
It's good to have you with us. We've got on the line Tony Garitano. It was a wonderful discussion last week. Wonderful, not maybe isn't the right word. It's always wonderful to have Tony on the broadcast. And folks, before we have Tony get into continue the discussion on the LMA snafu, I want to just say this. If you are looking for a resource on anything technology as it relates to what's going on in the mortgage industry, Tony is the hands-down expert on this. He's a great resource. I'm working on a project right now where we had to go through and really do a good survey of the entire landscape. And I've got very strong people both within our firm and then outside of our firm that I can draw on these resources. But I wanted just to give a shout out to Tony Garitano. He is on top of what is going on. That's his job. And he's got his publication, progressandlending.com. Be sure to check that out at www.progressandlending.com. But also he has this new publication, Today's Lending Insights. I love that magazine. It's just got such a new innovative approach. Tony, good to have you with us on the broadcast.
Good to be here, Dave. Happy Monday.
Well, good to have you back. Let's continue talking about the LMA, given the fallout after the LMA snafu. Has this sort of thing happened before, and will it happen in the future? I think it seems like a rhetorical question. Give us your thoughts.
I have not heard of anything of this caliber happening to a loan origination system in the past. The closest thing that I personally have heard of was a software as a service web-based LOS that was going out of business. And what they told all of their clients was that we are going out of business in a week. And I'm just using that as a hypothetical.
Right, so you have
those days to go into the loan origination system and get your data out of it. Fortunately, what happened in that case is the LOS got sold within that time period. So people were notified, don't worry about it, your data is safe, you don't have to extract your data from the LOS, we're going to take care of it and continue to maintain that LOS. But I have not heard of a situation like the situation that happened to Ellie Mae.
Go ahead.
My guess is that we will hear more situations like that in the future, though.
Yeah, we're starting to see more and more vulnerabilities. Let's put it this way. The vulnerabilities have been there all along is probably the reality, but we're finding them getting tested, and there seems to be just a whole cyber war going on. Maybe too strong a word, but if you listen to the State Department, you look at some of the things coming out of our government, I don't know that it is too strong. But in this case, Ellie Mae said it was one of their competitors. I don't know if that was a deflection to keep their attention off of them, you know, or what it was. I mean, we really don't know yet what the genesis of this whole latest snafu was, do we? Have we? Have we heard yet?
We officially? Do not. I'm not sure that claim made by Ellie Mae is something that should be taken seriously until we know all the facts. I just don't.
Right.
I don't know if that's true or if that's just marketing spin. We'll just have to wait and see. As you and I talked offline, Dave, the New York Attorney General is involved now. So,
yep. You
know, my guess is that we will find out more about exactly what happened and potentially who was behind it. Hopefully, in the weeks and months ahead.
Well, the good news is when it comes to the Internet, you can get in and track it. It's not impossible to figure out at least having some area, an idea of the origin of it. What are LOS systems on the market today doing to protect their lenders and clients moving forward? Is this heightened? Has this really caused for a holy cow, we better be really all over this. What are you seeing, Tony?
Well, I think so what's happening is a lot of loan origination system vendors have pushed people to embrace the software as a service model and web-based LOS systems. But if you're with a good quality vendor, they should offer you delivery options. You know, for example, if you don't want a software as a service web-based application, they should be able to offer you a client-server application. And if they don't, you know, that's something that you need to be suspect about. And also, what we're seeing is that the good quality vendors are doing point-to-point, bi-directional integrations directly out of the LOS. And what that means is pretty important, Dave. So what can happen is from a vendor like Ellie Mae, for example, they have a portal. It was called ePass, now it's called the Ellie Mae Network. That portal exists outside of the loan origination system, but it is also integrated within the loan origination system. So what can happen is someone can access the Ellie Mae Network that doesn't necessarily have the Encompass LOS. And if everything is web-based and they're flooding the Ellie Mae network with these crazy calls, it's possible that could crash, you know, Ellie Mae servers, and then the LOS may ultimately go down as well.
Right.
What other LOS vendors have decided to do to avoid that is they don't have a separate portal like that where you can call secondary services and secondary vendors. What they've done is they've installed direct one-to-one integrations between the LOS and the vendor that are bi-directional. So what's going to happen in that case, Dave, is in order for you to hack the LOS, you have to actually be in the LOS, right? You don't have to be
in it.
You're not accessing it. You're not accessing the LOS indirectly through a web portal. You actually have to have certain codes and permissions to be in the LOS itself if they're going out directly within the LOS instead of through a portal. So that's something that some vendors are doing too, in addition to offering the different platform types that, you know, again, it's not foolproof and it's nothing new or innovative, but it is another protection layer.
We just received a request from someone saying, could you dedicate, have Tony come on for the whole Hot Topic segment? And they said, I'd like to submit some questions in to Tony. So we got a request for you to be on the Hot Topic segment because there's just so much surrounding this. I suspect, in fact, I know that person happens to be a technology vendor that made that request. And I think they really value, I've come to value and recognize your humble but yet thorough amount of knowledge that you have on this topic. And, boy, it is the Ellie Mae situation really has underscored. We've got to look at this a lot more closely, something the Prophet Doctor's been talking about, and, you know, really vendor validation and testing things. But there's a lot more on this topic, so we're going to bring you in on a whole Hot Topic segment and there, Tony. So it'd be good to have you
in
for
that. One last thing before you let me go, Dave, that I wanted lenders to be aware of is just because you're in a software-as-a-service model, doesn't mean that the vendor has to host your data.
Right.
You can actually get the software as a service LOS and host the data yourself. If you still want a web-based LOS, but you don't necessarily trust the vendor to host your data. So there, and just another example of a hybrid model where you can get the web-based software as a service model and then lean less on the vendor and more on protecting yourself.
Yes, very good. Very good point. Very, very good point. So a lot of concerns about the SaaS, Software as a Service, SaaS model, and it will be interesting to see where this goes with the ramifications of the whole Ellie Mae thing. Tony, thanks so much for taking time to be with us. And folks, be sure to check out both his publication. And Tony, how can they get copies of the, get subscribed to the Tony or today's Lending Insight?
If they go to progressinlending.com, Dave, in the middle of the homepage, there's a way where you can subscribe. It is free. It will be delivered to your email every day in the form of our newsletter, and that particular publication comes out once a month.
It's excellent, of course, and there's the Progress in Lending publication as well. So, Tony, you got a lot of information you make available to our listeners, and you got some great sponsors, and we appreciate you being a part of our radio broadcast. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
You bet. Have a good one. Well, let's move over to the Prophet Doctor. Always fun to have the Prophet Doctor on, commenting about what's going on out there. And Andy,
Dave.
I know you've talked a lot about vendor validation, and we talk about the importance of really paying attention to this. But, boy, that whole Ellie Mae thing is really underscoring the importance of this. And I'm thinking now, I mean, Ellie Mae is certainly getting a lot of scrutiny, but I'm thinking about the vendors. I mean, excuse me, the mortgage lenders that were using this. And if the CFPB were to be in their shop right now or walk through the door, they might ask the question, say Mr. Mortgage Lender, lending operation of a bank, or Mr. Independent Mortgage Banker, what tests did you do? What validation of Ellie Mae did you do? I wonder how many blank looks and stares people are going to be getting with that, like vendor what? So comment on that.
Exactly. You're exactly right, Dave. People would be embarrassed that they did not perform a thorough due diligence as required by the CFPB. What's astounding to me is that this isn't new. This is the CFPB bulletin requiring vendor management has been out for 2 years now. And in those contracts we have with companies like Ellie Mae, there's very specific language the CFPB expects us to have, along with key performance indicators and other performance validating aspects, in addition to the overall due diligence of the company. And you have to document that. You have to keep it. There's so much here. I've got a couple of quick points I wanted to swing around to, Dave, if I could real quick.
Good. Sure.
I think having a technology week, a technology show would be a great idea. I think we maybe even do it on a roundtable basis. There's a couple of folks who could contribute. That would be, I think, very, very fascinating for people to learn more. And one of the things about this technology stuff is that it seems new. It seems, oh, my gosh, can't believe this happened. But there's a lot of pieces to this that have been identified in advance. OCC banks have been dealing with penetration testing to protect customer data for years. The there's a group called the Federal Financial Institution Examination Council that has massive documentation, exam review guidelines that are 800 pages long, talking about technology vendors, talking about protecting customer data. So some of this stuff isn't new, and you know, that's why we have the SAE 16 data security and penetration testing validation services for vendors. But, you know, here's the deal. A couple of quick points on this whole data thing is that if you don't trust your vendor to host your data, I don't think I would trust the vendor, period. And also, bringing it in-house is not often a solution for a mid-sized mortgage bank. We are working on a project currently. Our firm, Dave, you, me, and our team's firm, is working on a project right now to build out a data management system relating to a big potential lawsuit. And this $300,000. It's going to cost $300,000 for us to build out a data management service using that includes customer protected data. This is not a little project. Data management is not, well, I'm just going to put it on a floppy drive and, you know, back it up every day and I'm good. That is not acceptable anymore. That is not how you manage data anymore. You can't do it that way. Not if you have customer data, customer social security numbers and so forth. It's just not like you can't do that anymore. And I think the analogy that comes to mind is something that you really enjoy, too. I was watching a show about the Civil War and Civil War weaponry, and it talks about Gettysburg. And one of the things that was really telling about this, and I think it's an analogous to mortgage banking today, is that the battlefield tactics of the Civil War were based on Napoleonic theories, where it was basically a massive, overwhelming frontal assault would overwhelm your opponent. Back in the day when you shot a gun straight and it doesn't go straight, the bullet doesn't go straight. But in the Civil War, just before the Civil War, around 1850, they started doing rifle ring, this boring of the rifle barrel, so it started to put the twist on the bullet and it started going straighter. I know you live and breathe the Lincoln Institute and really believe in this stuff significantly. And you're looking at the past to as a basis for behaving in the future. And so what this told us is that the battlefield tactics did not adapt to the technological innovation of the time. The spinning of the bullet made it so a frontal attack was disastrous, was catastrophic losses because of the weaponry that was the innovation that was implemented. And that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with innovation. We're dealing with new issues. We're dealing with governmental regulations that are new. We're dealing with penetration threats that are potentially new. It's a whole new world, and we cannot operate our business the way we used to. You have to almost take your playbook. It's like on Apollo 13, when the bomb went off, they said, throw away the game plan, throw away the flight plan. And that's almost what you have to do with some of this stuff. You got to throw away, forget how you used to do it, because you can't do it that way anymore. It's a whole new game. Paradigms shift. It has to happen. It's a dynamic world. We have to be different. You cannot do it the way you've done it before. You have to change your behavior. You can't just talk to a vendor rep and go, oh, yeah, that sounds like a great product. Let's just go with it. You cannot do it that way anymore. You have to evaluate the vendor. You have to document the assessment of the vendor. You have to document your due diligence of the vendor. You have to have certain provisions within the service level agreement with the vendor. And then you have to validate the agreement's performance with the service level agreement over time. So
it's a really important topic, because a lot of people, again, there's the deer in the headlights look. Now, is something that just won't work if they walk through the front door on this topic. So I think it's really important to really plug into this. We're going to get into more of this as we get into the hot topic segment. I'm looking at the time we have, and I want to jump over to that. We're going to start off with you.
Oh my goodness! What time it is?
Start off with you, because there's so I know it's hard to believe. So we're going to get in, start off the hot topic segment with you, and then I'll roll over to Alice. And there's some things, and I've got some things I want to contribute into it. Well, we got such a little time, so folks, we're going to be right back with the hot topic segment on this whole thing: what's going on in the industry, how you need to react. We'll be right back after this brief word.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan, if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you with us. I'm flipping through as during the ad, the Mortgage Banking Magazine, April 2014. It is really Janet Hewitt and the folks there at the MBA just do such a good job on this whole magazine. I encourage you guys to get it if you're not subscribed to it. There's just a lot of great articles in here. But I want to continue the discussion, Prophet Dr. Andy Schell, really some of the preparation that is needed as we look at it. If we could just give a few more minutes. We're also looking at how the financials are being prepared. This is really the level of maturity. That's what I want to get to with you. The level of maturity as we as an industry have to go to. And I know we talk about this offline all the time. It's as if we were becoming a bank and the discipline, same level of discipline. Give our, if you could just take a few minutes here to kind of cover where is the new frame of reference that those in the industry need to be approaching the way they're managing the business.
Well, I think we have to either accept that the change is coming, get on board and agree to do it the way that it's required, or get out. You can't do it part way. You can't just keep doing it your way and hope that everything's going to be the same, because it's not. The CFPB long ago announced that they saw a leveling of the playing field between depositories and mortgage banks, and that leveling of the playing field is applicable because of the customer-facing aspects of mortgage banking. So if you're going to be involved in a customer-facing operation where the federal consumer protection laws are applicable, then you're going to be subject to the same guidelines and rules that are applicable to depositories. I just think that's what's happening, and we can get Alice to validate that opinion. Assuming that it's correct, then that's the new sheriff in town. And
it really is.
Again, it is. It doesn't matter how you've acted before. You have. I think the bottom line, Dave, is that people like to do it the way they've always done it. And here, if you continue to do what you've always done, you're going to go to jail probably. You cannot keep doing it the way you've always done it. It's time to accept the fact that you have to change your behavior. You also have to accept the fact that this stuff's going to cost more. You can't keep living.
I'm sorry, Alice,
jump in. Yes.
I was just going to elaborate on what you just said. You know, when you talk about changing behavior, that's what we're talking about here with this group. And you can say to people, are you talking to your borrowers differently, right? Talking to the salespeople, how are you addressing different situations that come up? And are you all addressing them the same way? Even if you only have 5 loan officers, I had a bankruptcy 2 years ago, my divorce was 3 years ago. Is everybody on the same page with the next series of questions and how to stay in compliance with that? Because, like you said, the new sheriff in town is all over. How is this loan being impacted? Are we really considering everything about ability to repay? So maybe the bankruptcy isn't the best example. I could say income, right? I think I've got an income change, or my income may be changing. Is all of your team on the same page? And that takes sitting down and talking together. So everybody's got to hear what Andy's saying, but then to actually implement it is be specific. Realize people can nod, oh, yeah, I'm aware of that change. Yep, I got that. I got my policy written. But you all have to meet to have the action items to actually do it. Make sure it's being done on a day-to-day basis.
Well, let's go to that. Let's make sure it's done. Alice,
We all are out there on the road a lot. You're in shops, and I know you and I talked. We've talked about this. There's various levels of doing it and implementing in this, and really getting a hold of this. Give this perspective on this, because what this radio broadcast is about, listeners, is really a public service to help you get it all figured out and at least be a free resource out there, rather than you don't have to hire an expensive consultant, at least get you down the path of it. So, Alice, when you're traveling around, do you see everyone getting it? Or is what David Stevens made that comment I really liked? He says, too small to comply, too big to fail, too small to comply. Is that attitude as prevalent as in your what your travels are revealing as what mine and Andy's are revealing?
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely companies that are very small and saying, this is very expensive and I cannot be in this space anymore, and whether that's origination or servicing. But, you know, the idea of how do I get my folks all on the same page with the regulations and what they're doing every day is what I still see kind of deer in the headlights. I don't think people realized how much in our conversations with borrowers, we have to be able to consistently articulate all of these changes and make sure that your originators aren't deferring, aren't placing blame. You know, I go through like the top seven mistakes that everyone is still making today in their conversations. And, you know, for example, an interest rate lock isn't going to be met. How is everybody going to respond to that problem? Customers are texting every day now, right? We're just talking about going, oh, yeah, I'm texting now with my customers. Hey, I'm going to be sending those disclosures back to you tomorrow. Oh, okay, great. Is that communication okay at your company? So I think that's really what we don't see people getting down into the weeds with yet. That may be the policy written, but there still needs some work at the next level.
It's that awareness of how far this is being taken. And that's one of the things that I have as a concern, is there's a lot of people that understand the concept. They sound like they're subscribing to it. But the production mentality, the more there is a production mentality in a shop, there seems to be more risk of them not getting examining everything as thoroughly in. And for someone, one person said, it seems like if I do that, David's going to destroy the culture of the production shop that we have. And I go, no, they can coexist very successfully. In fact, I'll argue that these must coexist successfully, or you're not going to be around. And I was looking at how to put this out, and I was talking to Brent Emler at Velma, and I said, I want to put this verse out. And he said, Dave, we got to make this positive. And I go, how do you put out the message that unless you get this right, this is serious? I mean, and then I'm going to go to Andy. So your thoughts, how are you communicating this to people? What is the best and most effective way if you're a CEO, sitting down across from a CEO of a company, Andy, same questions go to you, how do you effectively communicate this to a CEO, and what are the words that you use to really get them to capture the market or the environment we're in?
Let's see. Well, I would start by, you know, that is fear really running your organization right now, right? Make sure we're all on the same page for this company's decision. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, or is it the right fear? Is it the fear of the loan originators walking because you're going to do something's right, or is it the fear of the regulators? And how do you reconcile those sometimes opposing fears is another way, as I'm thinking you saying it. That's almost the way to look at it.
Right, and we show people, we were talking today, we've got some great originators in the room that I was working with today who know those communications and respect it, because it really means the process is going to run smoother. So I think what the CEOs have to get is there is a way to do both. There's a way to train originators on how to speak with incredible professionalism and articulation that is coming across to the customers, wow, you are an incredible mortgage professional. I trust you completely, because the originator knows how to communicate about in a regulatory compliant manner and be, I'm looking out for your best interests, right? So that's kind of the change in the sales that they have to see. We're not trying to collapse it with compliance, but there's a way to phrase things that is absolutely your customers are going to love you. So that's my quick message. Andy, how do you?
Yes. Well, what I like to talk about is, and I think Dave and I both approach this similarly, I like to talk to the CEO by saying, I want to talk to you just a little bit about what was, what is, and what will be.
Right.
So just a few minutes about how it's been, a little bit about how it is, and now where do you want to go? What do you believe will be the future of your organization? He'll go, well, we want to grow, we want to do this, make all this money, blah, blah, blah. I say, great. Let's talk about some of the path to the future. You know, we now have to be careful about what LOs say. We actually need to go back and script for our LOs what they can say and how they can say it and when they can say it so that they follow the rules. And then it's
right.
a matter of then training and implementation and testing and validating and, you know, then it's on and on and on. But you start by getting them on board with the future, get a positive pulse on volume, profits, everybody's going to go to Hawaii for Christmas, and then how do you get there?
It's the how you get there. That is really the key to this. And each week, if you listen to this broadcast, we've got lots of how-tos in the ways. We keep you informed of what's going on. And both starting off with Joe Farr, what's going on in the market, Alice talking about the latest regulatory environment, and then, of course, the Profit Doctor bringing both the asset and liability, the balance sheet of this whole thing. How do you talk about the income statement, the origination part of it? How do you deal with the expense part of it, the operational side of it? Really important that you guys be dialing in, tell others about this broadcast. Next week, I want to get in talking briefly about what we've got coming up. Brent Emler of Velma will be with us. It's an exciting broadcast, really talking about how many are struggling getting out and connecting. How can you do that? So we're going to be having him on again with Velma. Is a virtual electronic marketing platform which really allows people to reach out and get a hold of your network. Then we're going to be having another broadcast after that. That of the new culture of that's with realtors. I didn't realize this. We've got Eric coming on. Eric Schicks, who is a really, he's got the, I'm having to escape what his company is. Have to forgive me, Eric. But what talks about is the new culture in realtors. He was in a shop recently, and it used to be if you're going to call on realtors, you talk about what you'd meet all the realtors in the office. Do you know how few realtors are in their office because the industry has gone mobile? He's going to be talking about what is the new realtor? What does it look like? How do we connect with them? Very, very interesting stuff. And then we have Jessica Peterson back really talking about how you can connect people successfully with through via social media. So anyway, that's an exciting rollout. We got a whole bunch of products and programs lined up, again, to help you, the originators and mortgage participants. We've got a broad selection of the industry from regulators all the way through to originators, operational people, and we appreciate you being a part of the broadcast. Looking at the market again, taking a quick look, Joe Fard wants you to know this. The market is just down a few ticks below the 430 seconds. It now is right around 530 seconds down. Again, we'll continue to watch what's going on in Ukraine. It's important to dial in on that. Any parting words, Profit Doctor, and then we'll finish up with Alice.
Yeah, well, this seems overwhelming, but I would revert back to some of my Bank of America training. And one of the things that we kept talking about
back when it was the bright, the good B America,
the old Bank of America. Yeah, not the Ken Hughes. Yeah, exactly, the old. What we talked about was
good.
Yeah, well, the old one we talked about managing. Begin with the end in mind, which is a Franklin Covey concept. And then from begin with the end in mind, you then establish milestones, and then you establish
yes.
tasks, you assign deliverables, and you track outcomes. I mean, it's very basic project management stuff, but at a large organization like B of A, nothing gets done without having a plan. The same thing needs to apply to these changes we're dealing with today. Have a plan, implement the plan, track the plan, measure results, and you'll get there.
It's no question. Alice?
Well, I have a question for both of you. If everybody's volume is down anywhere from 30 to 50%, how are
mm-hmm.
we still taking so long to close loans?
That's a great
right?
question.
I mean,
yeah.
here we are. When so you ask people, so why? Who is going to latch on to that? There are only the occasional company I run into who's going, my next goal is I can close loans in 20 days or 25, right? Just improve it. But I still see everyone between 30 and 40 days in trying to close loans.
Well, I think part
you know
of
what?
It is preservation of
Go
the
ahead.
Position. They slow down to take up this time. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
The slower we are,
yes.
the slower we are. Right.
Well, I think it's that, and then also what I'm running across when I'm out there talking to people is people have really not made – they have not given the new regulatory environment where they're at. They don't know exactly how the best way to approach it. So if there's a lot of rethinking. Rather than taking, you know, a real purposed approach to this, they are still trying to figure it out, and they're moving in fear too much. There's no reason for you to be moving in fear. You want to move in – well, there's a healthy fear. I'm not talking about being careless, but what I'm talking about is really having a plan, purpose, approach to this and setting in the proper steps and you moving forward with confidence. There's no reason you can't be closing them that quickly. In my opinion, there are shops that I get to go into that are doing things much quicker than others, and the differentiating factor is those that have really prepared and set down this the way it's going to be. So anyway, it's good to have you with us, everybody. Alice, Andy, so good to have you be a part of the broadcast each and every week. Again, next week we have someone from Velma, Brent Emler, talking about marketing. We're going to be focusing on marketing for the next 3-4 programs, so it'll be good to have that. Appreciate you being with us, and we'll look forward to having you back next week.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.